The meditation of a convent sinner giving up his vain pleas before God. Deplorable condition to which I am indeed reduced. I have sinned. And what shall I say to you, O thou preserver of men? Job 7 verse 20. What shall I dare to say? Fool that I was to amuse myself with such trifling excuses as these, and to imagine they can have any weight in your tremendous presence, or that I should be able so much as to mention them there. I cannot presume to do it. I am silent and confounded. My hopes, alas, are slain, and my soul itself is ready to die too, so far as an immortal soul can die. And I am almost ready to say, oh, that it could die entirely. I am indeed a criminal in the hands of justice, quite disarmed, and stripped of the weapons in which I trusted. Dissimulation can only add provocation to provocation. I will therefore plainly and freely own it. I have acted as if I thought God was altogether such a one as myself, but he has said, I will reprove you. I will set your sins in order before your eyes, Psalm 50 verse 21. He will marshal them in battle array against me. And oh, what a terrible kind of host do they appear, and how do they surround me beyond any possibility of an escape? Oh, my soul, they have, as it were, taken you prisoner, and they are bearing you away to the divine tribunal. You must appear before it. You must see the awful, the eternal judge who tries the very reins. Jeremiah 27 verse 10, and who needs no other evidence, for he has himself been witness to all your rebellion. You must see him, O my soul, sitting in judgment upon you. And when he is strict to mark iniquity, how will you answer him for one of a thousand? And if you cannot answer him, in what language will he speak to you? Lord, of things at present stand, I can expect no other language than that of condemnation. And what a condemnation is it? Let me reflect upon it. Let me read my sentence before I hear it finally and irreversibly passed. I know he has recorded it in his word, and I know in the general that the representation is made with gracious design. I know that he would have us alarmed that we may not be destroyed. Speak to me, therefore, O God, while you speak not for the last time and in circumstances when you will hear me no more. Speak in the language of effectual terror, so that it be not speaking to me into final despair. And let your word, however painful in its operation, be quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Let me not vainly flatter myself. Let me not be left a wretched prey to those who would prophesy smooth things to me, till I am sealed up under wrath, and feel your justice piercing my soul and the poison of your arrows drinking up all my spirits. Before I enter upon the particular view, I know in the general that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. O thou living God, in one sense I am already fallen into your hands. I am become obnoxious to your displeasure, justly liable to it. And whatever your sentence may be when it comes forth from your presence, I must condemn myself and justify you. You cannot treat me with more severity than my sins deserve. And how bitter soever that cup of trembling may be which you shall appoint for me, I give judgment against myself that I deserve to wring out the very dregs of it. Amen. The reflection of a sinner struck with the terror of his sentence. Wretch that I am, what shall I do, where shall I flee? I am weighed in the balance and found wanting. This is indeed my doom, the doom I am to expect from the mouth of Christ himself, from the mouth of him that died for the redemption and salvation of men. Dreadful sentence, and so much the more dreadful when considered in that view. To what shall I look to save me from it? To whom shall I call? Shall I say to the rocks, fall upon me, and to the hills, cover me? What should I gain by that? Were I indeed overwhelmed with rocks and mountains, they could not conceal me from the notice of your eye, and your hand could reach me with as much ease there as anywhere else. Wretch indeed that I am. Oh, that I had never been born. Oh, that I had never known the dignity and prerogative of the rational nature. Fatal prerogative indeed that renders me obnoxious to condemnation and wrath. Oh, that I had never been instructed in your will at all, rather than being thus instructed, I should have disregarded and transgressed it. Would to God I had been allied to the meanest of the human race, to them that come nearest to the state of the brutes, rather than that I should have had my lot and cultivated life amidst so many of the improvements of reason, and, dreadful reflection, amidst so many of the advantages of religion as well, and thus to have perverted all to my own destruction. Oh, that you would take away this rational soul, but alas, it will forever live to feel the agonies of eternal death. Why have I seen the beauties and glories of a world like this to exchange it for that flaming prison? Why have I tasted so many of my Creator's bounties to wring out at last the dregs of his wrath? Why have I known the delights of social life and friendly converse to exchange them for the horrid company of devils and damned spirits in hell? Oh, who can dwell with them in devouring flames? Who can lie down with them in everlasting, everlasting, everlasting burnings? But whom have I to blame in all this but myself? What have I to accuse but my own stupid, incorrigible folly? Oh, what is all this terrible ruin to be charged but on this one fatal cursed cause that has broken God's law? I rejected his gospel as well. Yet, stay, O my soul, in the midst of all these doleful, foreboding complaints. Can I say that I have finally rejected the gospel? Am I not to this day under the sound of it? The sentence is not yet gone forth against me in so determinate a manner as to be utterly irreversible. Through all this gloomy prospect, one ray of hope breaks in, and it is possible I may yet be delivered. Reviving thought, rejoice in it. Oh, my soul, though it be with trembling, and turn immediately to that God, who, though provoked by 10,000 offices, has not yet sworn in his wrath that you shall never be permitted to hold forth intercourse with him, or to enter into his rest. I do then, O blessed Lord, prostrate myself in the dust before you. I own I am a condemned and miserable creature, but my language is that of the humble publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Some general and confused apprehensions I have of a way by which I may possibly escape. O God, whatever that way is, show it to me, I beseech you. Point it out so plainly that I may not be able to mistake it. And O, reconcile my heart to it, be it ever so humbling, be it ever so painful. Surely, Lord, I have much to learn, but be my teacher. Stay for a little moment. Your uplifted hand, and in your infinite compassion, delay the stroke, till I inquire a little further how I may finally avoid it. The Lamentation of a Sinner, who is aware of his condemned, miserable condition. Oh, doleful, uncomfortable, helpless state! Oh, wretch that I am to have reduced myself to it, poor, empty, miserable, abandoned creature! Where is my pride and the haughtiness of my heart? Where are my idol deities whom I have loved and served, and after whom I have walked and whom I have sought? While I have been multiplying my transgressions against the majesty of heaven, is there no heart to have compassion upon me? Is there no hand to save me? Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O friends, for the hand of God has touched me, has seized me. I feel it pressed upon me hard, and what shall I do? Perhaps they have pity upon me, but alas, how feeble a compassion! Only if there be anywhere in the whole compass of nature any help, tell me where it may be found. Oh, point it out. Direct me to it. Or rather, confounded and astonished as my mind is, take me by the hand and lead me to it. O you ministers of the Lord, whose office it is to guide and comfort distressed souls, take pity upon me. I fear I'm a pattern of many other helpless creatures who have the like need of your assistance. Lay aside your other cares to care for my soul, to care for this precious soul of mine which lies, as it were, bleeding to death, if that expression may be used, while you perhaps hardly afford me a look, or glance in an eye upon me. Pass over to the other side, Luke 10, verse 32. Yet alas, in a case like mine, what can your interposition avail if it be alone? If the Lord do not help me, how can you help me? O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, I lift up mine eyes to you, and I cry to you as out of the belly of hell. I cry to you at least from the borders of it. Yet while I lie before you in this infinite distress, I know that your almighty power and boundless grace can still find out a way for my recovery. Thou art he whom I have most of all injured and affronted, and yet from you alone must I now seek redress. Against you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight, so that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Though you should at this moment adjudge me to eternal misery, and yet I find something that secretly draws me to you, as if I might find rescue there where I have deserved the most aggravated destruction. Blessed God, I have destroyed myself, but in you is my help, if there can be any help at all. I know in the general that your ways are not as our ways, nor your thoughts as our thoughts, but are as high above them as the heavens are above the earth. Have mercy, therefore, upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. O point out the path to the city of refuge. O lead me yourself in the way everlasting. I know in the general that your gospel is the only remedy. O teach your servants to administer it. Prepare my heart to receive it. And suffer not, as in many instances, that malignity which has spread itself through all my nature, to turn that noble medicine into poison. Amen. The sinner's reflection on this good news. O my soul, how astonishing is the message which you have this day received. I have indeed often heard it before, and it has grown so common to me that the surprise is not sensible. But reflect, O my soul, what it is you have heard, and say whether the name of a Savior whose message it is may not well be called Wonderful Counselor, when he displays before you such wonders of love and proposes to you such counsels of peace. Blessed Jesus, is it indeed thus? Is it not a fiction of the human mind? Surely it is not. What human mind could have invented or conceived it? It is a plain, a certain fact, that you did leave the magnificence and joy of the heavenly world and compassion to such a wretch as I. Oh, had you from that height of dignity and felicity only looked down upon me for one moment and sent some gracious word to me for my direction and comfort, even by the least of your servants, justly might I have prostrated myself in grateful admiration and have kissed the very footsteps of him that published the salvation. But did you condescend to be yourself the messenger? What grace had that been, though you had but once in a person made the declaration and immediately returned back to the throne from whence divine compassion brought you here? But this is not all the triumph of your illustrious grace. It not only brought you down to earth, but kept you here in a frail and wretched tabernacle. prolonged successive years, and at length it cost you your life and stretched you out as a malefactor upon the cross. After you had borne insult and cruelty, which it may justly wound my heart so much as to think of. And thus, you have atoned injured justice and redeemed me to God with your own blood. What shall I say, Lord? I believe. Help thou my unbelief. It seems to put faith to the stretch, to admit what it indeed exceeds the utmost stretch of imagination to conceive. Blessed forever, blessed be your name, O Father of mercies, that you have contrived a way. Eternal thanks to the Lamb that was slain, and to that kind providence that sent the word of this salvation to me. Oh, let me not for 10,000 worlds receive the grace of God in vain. Oh, impress this gospel upon my soul, till its saving virtue be diffused over every faculty. Let it not only be heard and acknowledged and professed, but felt. Make it your power to my eternal salvation, and raise me to that humble, tender gratitude, to that active, unwearied zeal in your service, which becomes one to whom so much is forgiven, and forgiven upon such terms as these. I feel a sudden glow in my heart while these tidings are sounding in my ears. But, oh, let it not be a slight superficial transport. Oh, let not this, which I would fain call my Christian joy, be as that foolish laughter with which I have been so madly enchanted, like the crackling blaze of thorns under a pot. But teach me to secure this mighty blessing, this glorious hope, and the method which you have appointed, and preserve me from mistaking the joy of nature while it catches a glimpse of its rescue from destruction. For that consent of grace which embraces and ensures a deliverance. Amen.